I speak to you in God's holy name. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. Today is what's known as Transfiguration Sunday. And what does transfiguration mean? It means a major change. And the church remembers this moment because the disciples who were following Jesus, this was the moment that things changed for them. Up until this time, they sort of saw Jesus as being remarkable. They'd given up their lives to follow him. They left their families behind. They'd left their careers behind, mainly as fishermen. And they put everything on the line. But at this moment, these three people who were there with Jesus, Peter, James, and John, experienced something unlike anything they'd ever experienced before. They had this vision, this moment of Jesus all of a sudden dazzling white. And at that same time, they saw Moses and Elijah, the two figures historically in Jewish culture who had been not dying on earth like others, but who had been taken up to heaven. And so here we had these men witnessing this terrifying, awesome experience. Seeing Jesus changed and being unlike they'd seen him before, and seeing with them this vision of Elijah and Moses. And at this time in Jewish faith, they had something they called the Feast of Tabernacles. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, they would set up little cabins to represent each of the great prophets of their past. And the teachings would be there. And people would come and go to the various little cabins and receive teaching and talk about the impact of this Jewish teaching on their lives. So this is what Peter is referring to when he said, let's put up three tabernacles, let's put up three, the various translations, three tents, three buildings, just so that we could always remember this, and this becomes a holy place, and we come back to it, so we don't forget it, because this is so remarkable. And Jesus then said, just don't talk about it. Don't talk about it until I, too, have been taken up and come back. And this was a moment of change. These people, well, their humans come through, and we know that when we go through what we're going through soon in Lent and the crucifixion and how Peter denies Jesus, but still things had been different for them. This was a moment of what we call metanoia, a turning aside, a change, a coming over. This was a change for them, that they weren't just the same as they always had been before. They were following an awesome prophet, but this awesome prophet was more than they ever encountered. And so they were fundamentally changed as people. And the transfiguration is important because we too have been called to be transfigured. We too are called at this time to follow Jesus. This is the end of Epiphany, the time in which let light shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, which was the second reading today. And that light, we are called to be lights too. The light out shining out into the darkness. We are called to be transfigured. We are called to be changed as people of God. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us? What does it mean to be transfigured? Well, it means one thing is that we don't go along just like everybody else who is around us. We're not just a face in the crowd. Now, I happen to like stew. I'm going to make a soup, as you know, for the Lenten studies. and it won't be a stew, but I made a stew yesterday. And my stew is okay on the first day, but after about 4 days, it's when it really gets yummy. And you can't really tell the difference between the turnip and the parsnip and the carrot. It's all got that lovely goodiness in it. And I've kept it cold, so it's still healthy. But it's really tasty. Well, it's okay for stew, but we are not to get like people in a stew of the world. There should be something that makes us different than the other people around us, so that we don't all look like warmed over carrots or whatever you want to analogize. We are called to be light in the darkness. Now, I heard a rant the other day about we are living in too politically correct time and political correctness is wrong and we should be able to go back to our old ways. Well, political correctness is a way of putting down something else that's more profound. Most of us in this room are old enough to remember what it was like living in the 50s and the 60s. Some of us not really, but most of us can. And I remember living in that time where it was common for people to make racial jokes, to make jokes about people who were immigrants from other parts of the world, to make jokes about Japanese, to make jokes about people from Poland, to make jokes about people from almost anywhere. And even jokes about Newfoundlanders who had just come to Canada as part of Canada in 1949. And a lot of those jokes, we laughed at them, but when you analyze them, they were not funny. They were made at the expense of somebody else. And then gradually we became to be more sensitive. But still there were jokes often made about women. And there were jokes about people who were bald and jokes about people who are gay and lesbian. And gradually we're moving away from that. But some people just long for those days again. And they put down this whole movement of sensitivity to political correctness. Well, we as Christians, we don't worry about political correctness. We are to be sensitive, caring, and inclusive. Just as God is sensitive, caring, and inclusive of all of us, with all of our faults, with all of our idiosyncrasies, and we are to accept one another all as people of God. Maybe from different backgrounds, different cultures, different ethnicities, different languages, First Nations, Black people, Oriental people, whatever the mix. We are one people and one planet. But we are called in our own everyday life to be aware that we are all one together. And it's important that we fully do that. It's not being politically correct. It's being sensitive and caring and recognizing that we're all the people of God and all called and created by God and loved by God equally. And we are to work at loving one another in an equal measure. And that's not to say you aren't discerning. Somebody does an act which is evil, you can certainly recognize that. But I had to learn when I was a prison chaplain that it's by the grace of God that we all aren't doing time. We all could slide over that boundary so easily. And that I had to remember that I hate the sin but love the sinner. And so we are called to that same kind of awareness. That we are called to be light in the darkness. And we are living in a time, sadly, where we seem to be sliding backwards. Back to that kind of time in the 50s and 60s where people would put other people down to make them feel better about themselves. And we can't go back there. We are called to have a different standard. And we are called to have a standard of sensitivity. We are called as The disciples all of a sudden found themselves that they weren't like the others anymore, that they had been transfigured. They had been changed. That we who accept Jesus Christ, we who understand the love of God within each of us, we too are to be a transfigured people. So as we move ourselves from today into the season of Lent, which starts on Wednesday, let us think about, how am I transfigured? How am I called to be light in the darkness? How am I called to go forward as a different person? And as you reflect, as we come into Lent, when has it been that I have been short-sighted? Or had my tongue go too loose and say something I wish I hadn't have said? And then seeking forgiveness. And we all can do it. I'm going to be transparent and give you an example from my own life history as a priest. This goes back way long ago, but I learned from that. I transfigured and I found metanoia after that event. I'm not proud of it, but I need to share because we're all susceptible. I was probably in my second year in a little parish in Cape Breton called St. John's Arrashat. And in Arrashat, we were a small community, smaller than we are here. And on a Sunday morning, we might have 12 or 14 people. And there was another point in the parish called Port Hawkesbury, and it was booming, and we had, you know, full church. But this little church in Arrashat was always feeling on the edge. And we had a funeral on a Tuesday. We did the committal on a Tuesday. And the next week, somebody else had died, and it was on a Wednesday. And as we were walking out, and I was about 25, maybe 6, as we were walking out of the cemetery, one of the few young women in the parish came up to me and said, "Well, Father, who's going to be next?" I said, "I don't know. And if I did, I can't say." "Oh, come on, Father, you know. God tells you everything." And I fell into that trap. And I said, "Well, if you really want to know, it'll be Laura Cutler next Thursday." Now, Laura Cutler, unknown to most of the congregation, I'm not proud of this, but I'm just sharing it because we can all fall into this kind of stupidity. Laura Cutler was unliked by the rest of the community because she had been the telephone operator. And they all knew that in those days we had no dial phones, and in those days in Arrashat, she would listen in. And so people despised her and the few women that worked for her. But they ignored her. They shunned her. She was an outsider. But I went and visited her and made sure I took her communion and so on. And I knew, unknown to all the others, that she was going to Halifax. And Arrashat is like a 3 or a half hour journey away from Halifax. She was going to Halifax to have what was done in those days. And I haven't heard about it lately, so there's probably new procedures, but called vein stripping. You've probably heard of that. Some way to deal with varicose veins. So she was going to Halifax for this vein stripping. Should be a routine operation. She went down on the Sunday night. They did the operation on Monday. She got blood clots. The blood clot went to the brain, killed her. We buried her on Thursday. I felt so stupid. I felt stupid already after having said that, but I felt more stupid. And I resolved then to become very much more sensitive and very much more aware of myself. We all can fall into that pit. And we need to be here today in 2018, a very sensitive and aware community for each other and how we approach each other. Not as political correctness, but as being sensitive, caring, transfigured people who follow in the love of God. So today, as we prepare ourselves for Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent, I invite us to reflect privately about our own speaking, about our own interaction, and to remember that we are loved by Jesus, that we are loved by God, that God resides within us, and when we speak as a part of the divinity of God. And I pray that as we are in receipt of the sacrament today, we are given new energy to be transparent to ourselves and honest, and to come to that place of caring and sensitivity. May God bless us all. Amen.